The following recording was produced by Christ Redeemer Church of Hanover, New Hampshire. The speaker is Doug Cooper. You may find more information on the church and its various resources on the web at www.christredeemerchurch.org.
This morning's scripture reading comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This ends the reading of God's word.
We've been talking about a lot of things since we got started in this series on walking with God. One of the things that I feel like I struggle with this each and every week, every time I get to this particular point, there's this temptation that I've got to come to whatever focus that we've got this week. It's gratitude, and to say something along the lines of this thing, gratitude, for instance, is absolutely essential to our walk with God. It's critical. We need to nurture it in our lives and to talk in these very big, ultimate sort of ways. Preachers like to do this sort of thing. I don't know if you've noticed this. We do it quite a bit. But however, I mean it when I'm saying these things. And it's the same this morning. I'm tempted at this very moment to say this very thing about gratitude. But I'm not gonna. And so I'm gonna do the next best thing, the thing that you should do in a moment like this. I'm going to let somebody else do it for me. I'm gonna let somebody else say what I wanna say. It's a good trick. That one's free. So this morning, again, we're concentrating on gratitude. You could call it thankfulness. If you were expressing it out loud, you could call it praise. But whatever you wanna call it, in essence, what we're talking about is a posture. Gratitude is a posture of the mind. It's a posture of the heart. You could say that it's an attitude. You could say that it's perspective of the mind. It's a perspective of the heart. And in terms of its significance, here is one person's thoughts other than my own. M. Craig Barnes, he's the current president of Princeton Theological Seminary, and he had this to say about gratitude. I doubt that there is such a thing as a measure of spirituality, but if there is, gratitude would be it. Only the grateful are paying attention. I believe I've shared this quote with us before. And I really appreciate the way that he frames gratitude in that statement, because it does capture, in my mind, this idea of walking with God. He identifies that perhaps the most critical litmus test for our spirituality, for feeling for a pulse, if you were feeling for a pulse, thump, 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 that it would be gratitude. As we walk with God, one of the things that should begin to show up in our lives naturally like a pulse is a sense of gratitude. Certain habits just come with certain distinct markers. You can notice this anywhere you're going. If someone... you stumble upon somebody out in the community and they've got grass-stained sneakers, there's a pretty good chance that they mow lawn for a living. Or at least where I grew up in the suburbs where we only had push mowers, that's the kind of thing that you would assume if you stumbled upon somebody like that. If you bump into somebody in the grocery store or in the bank and they've got some paint on their clothes, if they've got some paint on their clothes, some paint on their hands, you might assume that they're a painter, that they paint for a living. If you come across somebody who's got lots of paint on their clothes and lots of paint on their hands, they're probably not a painter by trade. They're probably just painting their own house. People who pump lots of iron on a regular basis, they tend to get big muscles. These are markers. They're byproducts of a way of life. We see them, these markers, and they tell us something about the person that we're encountering. And to Barnes' point, gratitude is the grass stains Gratitude is the paint marks that come with the territory of walking with God. And we see this dynamic coming through again and again throughout the Bible. Often, it comes to us in the form of an engaged, lived expression, a raw expression very often, of those who are walking with God. I'll give you a couple of examples of this. The Psalms. The Psalms are a great place to go if you're looking for grass stains and paint marks. So here are the beginnings, the first couple of verses of a few Psalms. I'll begin with Psalm 9. Psalm 9 begins like this. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. Beginning of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits. One more. Psalm 145 begins like this. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. So you can hear it. Right? You can hear it, this uncontainable gratitude. It's this persistent, repetitive thing, almost like a pulse. And what we find is that as it comes up again and again in the Bible, through all kinds of situations, through all sorts of circumstances, that it appears to be the most natural response of those who are walking with God. All paths essentially lead to this one experience and expression of gratitude, to experience and to then in turn express gratitude to him. And yet, if you were listening closely to all that I just read so far, it isn't just natural. It isn't just natural. It's also something that we must nurture. Gratitude must be nurtured. If you were listening to the entirety of that quote that I read from Barnes, when he gets to the end, he essentially says that. He says, only the grateful are paying attention. In other words, this is not automatic. It requires intentionality on our part. We need to pay attention. We need to apply ourselves to gratitude. And we heard this very same sentiment in one of those Psalms that I read. Here's a tidbit from 103 all over again. Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits. What is the psalmist saying? Pay attention. Take note. Look out. Well then, which is it? Which is it? Is it nature? Or is it nurture? I mean, folks tend to tip to either one side or the other when it comes to these kinds of things. So which is it? Nature or nurture? And I would say this is not an either-or situation. This is a both-and kind of a scenario. Gratitude is the natural byproduct. It is the fruit that grows in the life of those who walk with God. It is that. And it's also something that we must take steps to nurture in our lives. The garden needs tending. Have I confused you yet? Are you confused? If so, it's okay. You're not the only one, okay? But let's see if we can untangle what I'm saying here by working through these things together. Try to make some sense of this. Now, as you've been listening to me riff on these things, one thing that might be coming to mind as I've been saying the things that I've been saying is something like, this doesn't seem to come naturally to me. Like Doug's talking about, what does that say about me? What does that say about me and God? What does that say about my walk with God? You're not alone on that one either, okay? We're going to talk about that. That's going to be our first point this morning, actually. Our first point is going to be the hurdle to thankfulness. The second thing that we'll be considering is the heart of thankfulness, trying to get underneath gratitude and see where it actually comes from. We need to go straight to the source. It's got to be the place to go. And then lastly, we'll consider the habit of thankfulness. How do we nurture it? How do we tend the garden of gratitude in our lives? So there you go. If you're taking notes, I'll say those one more time. We're looking at the hurdle the heart and the habit of thankfulness. So we'll begin with the hurdle to thankfulness. Has anybody here ever run hurdles? And I mean, like, legitimately, like on a track and field team where you're having to do the business of leaping over things and racing simultaneously. Anybody? I have not. However, my kids, a few of my kids have been on track and field teams where I've been able to go and witness this. And it's one of the things that I love to watch the best is the hurdles because they're tricky. It's not like watching the Olympics with these like world athletes who just make it look like a total breeze because it's not a breeze. Running hurdle races as a unexperienced observer anyhow seems very complicated to me. The kinds of things that I pick up on as I watch this is that for one thing, you got the height of the hurdles. There's just variations on that, but essentially I think the average is somewhere around like 3 feet. 3 feet may not sound like very much to you, but 3 feet, if you're trying to leap over it on the move, is quite a bit. And you can't be running too slow as you approach the hurdle, or you're not going to get over it. You need a little bit of momentum. And if you're going too fast, unless you're really long and very athletic, you're probably just going to plow right through the thing. So you can't go too slow. You can't go too fast. And so you end up doing this kind of like adjustment of speed as you go. You're like over the hurdle and then you're going fast and then you're slowing down and you're going over the hurdle. And there needs to be a kind of a rhythmic pattern that you get a hold of. And I feel like this is the toughest thing as I watch high school kids do it anyways. And perhaps the most important thing. All that to say, it's not easy. Like, running hurdle races isn't easy. I was trying to imagine all of us here this morning, maybe after our Sunday service, we all cruise on over to the local, there's got to be a track and field, maybe right here on campus, a track field, and all of us doing hurdle races together. Maybe somebody videotaping that. I put a smile on my face because what I thought was, is if we took a video of that, it might just go viral and not for the kinds of reasons that we would hope, right? That could be pretty messy. People might get hurt. And when we talk about gratitude and thankfulness, if we're being honest with ourselves, I think that this parallel works really well. It works really well for gratitude and thankfulness, which is to say that it's not easy. It's not easy. Thankfulness is complicated. Contrary to some of what I have been saying to you so far, it does not come so naturally. Confusing us again. If you're paying attention, not just to others, but if you're paying attention to yourself, if you're keeping a watch on yourself, gratitude is rather unnatural. It's not natural. It's rather unnatural. It's a rather unnatural response for most of us. We tend to take note of what's wrong well before we take note of what's good and right going on around us and in our lives. We tend to highlight, like, you know, of all the things that we could say, we kind of gravitate towards, like, man, I'm not so impressed. Why is that? Here's a good question. What are some of the hurdles of gratitude? What might they be? What are the things that are tough to get over? One hurdle to gratitude, in my mind, maybe the first one that comes to my mind, is people. Am I right? People. Like, we want to be thankful. We want to be content. We don't want to be grumpy. We don't want to go around complaining. But people just really have a way of complicating that sort of a thing. They're just unpredictable. People are nothing like hurdles. They're not always the same height. They're spread out. They're not like succinctly measured out. They're unevenly spread out. Hurdles don't move. People do. They come in all different shapes and sizes. They come with varying personalities and preferences and opinions. And so much of the time, it seems that their personalities and their preferences and their opinions just don't really jive with ours. They don't resemble ours. They don't align with ours. And so they just make it really hard. People just make it really hard to be content. People make it pretty tough on us to be grateful. I should probably be winking as I'm saying these things so that you guys don't take me too seriously. I am punning up here a little bit. But this is what tends to come most naturally to most of us. People often feel like hurdles to us. Difficult things to get over so that we can get further along down the track of life. Like, okay, oh, there's another one. Here's another one. Here's one more hurdle to thankfulness. And this should be an obvious one. Circumstances. Circumstances. We want to be thankful. We don't want to complain. We know we have a lot to be thankful for. But man, can you believe these gas prices? It's affecting everything. I want to be content. I want to not be so grumpy so much of the time, but my life is so busy. It's so full. The house projects, man, they're endless. And all the driving around, I got to drive the kids to school. I got to, you know, get the car to the auto shop. And, then I got to get it back. I got to get to the store for this, that, or the other things. And then I got to pick the kids up. Then I got to take them to soccer practice. Did I mention the price of gas? And it's just endless. And then I've got to wake up and do it all over again tomorrow. I've just had it. But I'm grateful. I've got a lot to be thankful for. Wink, wink. Now, obviously, I'm being light about these things. So trying to provide a little bit of levity. I'm attempting to be comical. I don't know how successful I'm being so far. I haven't gotten too many chuckles. Come on, guys. Where's your sense of humor? That was me being ungrateful for you guys laughing. But really though, I've been being light about these things. I have not mentioned the fact to be serious now. I haven't mentioned the fact that legitimately some of us really do have some very difficult things that we're contending with. Some of us have some very difficult personalities that we're contending with, people in our lives. Some of us really do have terrible circumstances that we're trying to navigate, and these things are legitimately overwhelming. These things make it very legitimately hard for us to not be cynical people, to not be full of ingratitude. But despite that, hopefully you are getting the point that I'm trying to get across here, that gratitude, it's a perspective. Gratitude, it's a posture, it's an attitude, and our most natural perspective tends to be a very narrow one. What do I mean? What have I got in mind? Generally speaking, biblically speaking, us, not others, not our circumstances, are the real impediments to the experience of gratitude. It isn't someone or something out there that is robbing us of appreciation. It's us. We're the hurdles. We're the hurdles that we can't get over. And again, this is a perspective. It's a posture. This is how we tend to think and act and respond when we think that our lives are ours, that they're our own, that we're walking alone, that we're the kings and queens of our own destiny. When we think and operate in these ways, it's very natural for us to say things like, "Can you believe this guy? Who do these people think they are? The nerve of some people. This stupid car, it's the bane of my existence. If I had one more red light, I'm just going to scream. The price of gasoline, what'll be next?" This is our natural, sinful disposition. And apart from God, it will utterly consume us. It will utterly consume us. It's the way of hell. If you read the Bible closely, it's the way of hell. An endless, solitary groan of discontentment. It's what we're talking about. This is why this is so serious. So what are we missing? What are we missing? And what we're missing, I think, is the very heart of gratitude. We're missing the very heart of gratitude. This brings us to our second point, the heart of gratitude. And simply put, here it is. It isn't about us. It isn't about us. It isn't measured according to us and our solitary experiences. It's about gratitude, is about Him. He is the pulse and the heartbeat of gratitude. Please look back with me at our passage in Colossians that Leah read for us. Paul writes this. I'm going to read all the way through. Listen closely with an ear for what we've been talking about. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Gratitude isn't about us, it's about Him. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Well, what does Paul have in mind here when he says this? And essentially what he's saying, what I think he's saying is, forget about all the bad news for a moment. Forget about it. Set aside your complaints about the bad circumstances that are going on in your life and all around you. And in place of that, allow the good news of Christ to dwell among you richly, abundantly, copiously, a lot. Let the undeserved grace of Christ consume your thoughts. Let the radical mercy of Jesus fill your hearts with wonder. And together, be thankful and sing. Sing. Belt out a song of gratitude. This is a totally different perspective than the one that we tend to have. This is a totally different posture, and it should cause us to look upon people and circumstances differently if we've got it. Earlier, I read a bit from Psalm 103. Here it is again. Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Now, listen for that same language, the part that I emphasized there. Listen for the same language in what I'm about to read to you. This comes from Revelation chapter 5. And this is what we've got here is a picture of heaven. And it is like the culmination of everything. It's the culmination of all things. In other words, this is where everything, the whole trajectory of human history, is ultimately leading. Like if you were in a long line, imagine yourself in a really long line. Okay, we've all been in long lines before. Like if you were in a long line, you would want to know, wouldn't you? You would want to know where the line's going, where it's leading. You would want to know why you're standing in that line. Some of the longest lines that I've ever stood in my entire life have been for concerts, going to see bands that I like, right? And they're long, they're winding, they're slow moving, and the other thing I would say about them is they're never burdensome to me. I just don't mind them because I know where they're going. They're leading to something good. So check this out. This is a vision of John, the writer of the Gospel of John. You know him. And this is the culmination of all things. This is what he says in Revelation 5. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea. And here's that language I was talking about. And all that is in them saying to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Did you get that? If we're walking with God, if you're walking with God, This is where he's leading you. Right here. This is where the line's going. This is what you're waiting for. This is what the atmosphere is like. People talk about the air in certain ways, like the air at the ocean or the air at certain altitudes. This is the air. This is it. Breathe it in. Gratitude. It's expressed thankfulness. Worthy is the Lamb. So now do you see why I was so tempted at the beginning to make such a big deal out of it? And I'm doing it every week. Because I keep coming across stuff like this. I'm just like, I got to. I mean, it is. It's absolutely essential. Gratitude is the marker. It's the grass stains. It's the paint marks of those who walk with God. However, we've got to nurture it. We've got to nurture it. We can't just wait for it to spring up in our lives. We need to tend it like a garden. Please look back with me at the passage in Colossians once more. We're gonna just take a slow walk through it. Let's see if we can glean a few things on how to create a habit of gratitude in our lives together. This whole passage is essentially about gratitude and how to nurture it among one another. So there's the first thing to glean. Take note of that. That's the first thing to glean. That gratitude isn't meant to be a solitary experience. Its trajectory is the praise. We just read about it in Revelations 5. The trajectory of it is the praise of every tribe, tongue, and nation. It's not meant to be a solitary experience. It's meant to be a group experience. But what else? Paul writes, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace." And so for starters, that word rule right there, the word rule there is not all that different from a word like umpire or a word like referee or something like that. And so what Paul is exhorting us to do here is to allow the peace of Christ, not other people, not circumstances, but to allow the peace of Christ to make the call in our lives, to blow the whistle, you know, to throw the flag, to redirect us, however you want to think about it, to provide the guiding perspective in various situations, especially those kinds of situations that might cause us unrest. Because again, we're being guided, we're being ruled by the peace of Christ. And then he simply says, and be thankful. And this is probably obvious, but I'll point it out anyhow. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. Be thankful. We're to actively be trying to implement gratitude in our lives. But how? We've talked about this already, but Paul spells it out. He says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Here's some silly ways of trying to think about that. Let it, he's using the word dwell, let it move in. Nurture it. Make a place for it. Give it a room. Make up a bed for it. Give it a toothbrush and a towel. Make a setting at the table for the good news of Jesus. Let it change the whole atmosphere of your inner house. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Do it together. Spur one another on in this. How might we do that? How might we spur one another on it? He just keeps going. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. This is what we're trying to do right here. It's what we're trying to do together every time we gather here on a Sunday morning. We're trying to do this very thing. But this is something that we're called to do, to stir up among one another, not just on Sunday mornings. We're called to do it all the time. Gratitude to God is a persistent group activity. And so he named some specific things for us, but then notice what he does next. This kind of makes my point, I think. He ups the ante, like to the uttermost, like to the greatest extreme. He says, and this is the last verse there, and whatever you do, in case I didn't cover this, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is where the all the time comes in. Whatever you do, word, deed, all the time, do it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So let it ripple out, is what Paul's instructing us. Whatever you do, just let it ripple out like a stone in the water. Go into the recycling center. Use our imaginations. Visiting your grandparents, changing a bike tire, picking out some books at the local library. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Direct it all towards him. And make it a shared thing. Make it a shared thing, practically. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? Tell somebody. Tell somebody about it. Are you thankful for them? Are you thankful for somebody in this room? Tell them. Don't keep it to yourself. Tell them about it. Say, hey, man. Hey, girlfriend. I just want you to know that I really appreciate you. You're important to me. You encourage me. Your life and my life strengthens my life. I know God better because of you, because of your example, because of our conversations, because of our relationship. I praise God for you. When's the last time you did that? There's a lot. There's so much. I mean, I really didn't touch these psalms that you got in the printed bulletin, but just walk through them. I will. The psalmist says over again, I will do this, and I will do that, and I will do this, and I will do that. And it's this measured thought process that is trying to stoke and stir themselves towards gratitude in God. In closing, just based on this one passage that we actually did spend a bit of time in Colossians, let's leave with this thought. Core to what Paul's exhortation is, we have these two let commands. Let's hold on to these. Two let commands. These are the big habits that are being highlighted by Paul. Let the peace of Christ rule among you. Let the peace of Christ rule among you. Let it have the final say. Let it be the guiding light. Second, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Let it live in you like a member of the family and share it together like a family. These are our commands. I would point out they're commands, and yet they may not be the kind of commands that you would think of. These are commands that are absolutely, positively, 100% for our good, for the nurturing of our souls in Christ, and for the nurturing of gratitude in our souls towards Christ. So I commend them to you. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the direction of your word. We thank you for the direction of your spirit. We thank you for the direction that you're taking us in, that your intention towards us is that we would walk with you in gratitude, not just now, but forevermore. And so, God, I just pray that you would be, just knowing that this is the trajectory, knowing that this is the culmination of all things, would you just be nurturing, as we try to nurture these things, would you really be doing the heavy lifting? Would you really be doing the hard work of nurturing these things into our souls among us richly? We pray that you continue to lead us, guide us, be our umpire in this service. And we just express that it is our desire that you would be high and lifted up, that you would be pleased with our worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.